The blockade of a Kentucky railroad track captivated the region as miners protested lack of payment from employer Black Jewel Coal. For many, the moment called back to earlier generations of labor organizing in eastern Kentucky. In a two-part series, reporter Sidney Bowles looks at what the protest says about the state of organized labor in the mines and how miners think about the future of coal. Here's the first of her reports.
Black Jewel's bankruptcy left more than 1,000 Appalachian miners without pay and no way to know if they still had jobs, health insurance, or their retirement savings. On July 29th, five miners saw an opportunity. A train full of coal was leaving a Harlan County loading facility. The five men clambered onto the railroad tracks to block the train, and they didn't leave for over a week.
No pay, no coal! No pay, no coal!
If they can load a train out, they can give us our money.
We're suffering, our kids are suffering, our families are suffering. As long as I gotta stay here, I'll stay.
The railroad protest has been entirely nonviolent. But for many, the Black Jewel bankruptcy and the resulting protest recalled an earlier period in Harlan County's history.
This thing here, it's put you in the mind of Bloody Harlan back years ago.
Bloody Harlan. The name comes from the violent struggle between coal companies and workers hoping to organize, first in the 1930s and then again in the early 1970s.
Last year, the coal mining camps became Bloody Harlan all over again. As the strike dragged on for more than a year, two miners were shot, one man was killed.
You have to look at Bloody Harlan in a long history of a bloody coal industry.
That's labor historian Rosemary Feurer of Northern Illinois University. She says the coal industry pushes the full cost of coal onto workers' health, workers' wages, and the environment. Feurer says the United Mine Workers of America arose from the workers' demands for better treatment.
What the miners were saying is we can't be basically just extraction engines and tools left to die of black lung.
The union successfully negotiated better wages and benefits for miners and won health and safety standards that are still in place today. But union membership is in decline across the country, and the miners' union has declined faster than most. Between 1997 and 2017, overall mine employment in the Ohio Valley dropped by 50%. In the same period, UMWA membership dropped by 76%.
The reason that unions have really been imperiled in the southern parts of the country is because they've been told that the only way that the South can rise again is by being a non-union, anti-union reserve.
By 2017, there were no union miners left working in Bloody Harlan, and only a handful in all of Kentucky. Many Black Jewel miners had never worked for a union mine in their careers. Phil Smith is a spokesperson for the UMWA. He worries that a weak union puts miners at risk of losing protections that previous generations fought for.
The minute that a government who is intent on doing away with many of these worker protections feels like they can without there being any political blowback from that, for doing that, they're going to do it.
Smith finds hope in teacher strikes across the country and efforts to unionize other workplaces.
Yeah, I think we're seeing a resurgence in people interested in making sure that they have a voice at work.
Chris Lewis was among the first miners to block the train. His views on unions are complicated.
I was raised union, and I believe in the union. But I also believe in a man's right to provide for his family, you know what I'm saying?
Lewis believes that if Black Jewel had a union, his family wouldn't be in this predicament. Now, Lewis has a new job in a coal mine in Alabama. In that new job, he will be part of a union. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Sidney Bowles in Harlan County, Kentucky.
In part two of this series, we'll hear what miners think about their industry's future.
Curtis Kress is sitting in the gravel beside a Harlan County, Kentucky railroad track. Tall and thin, with a long black beard, Kress is a coal miner. Or he was, until a month ago.
It was part of my, I guess, heritage, you know, my dad and papaws and all that had always done it, and I'm proud, you know, of that heritage.
Kress has been at these railroad tracks for days with little sleep. He's here to protest his former employer, Black Jewel Coal. Black Jewel's chaotic bankruptcy left about 1,000 miners like Kress with bounced paychecks and unpaid bills, and largely in the dark about their future. That lack of clarity seems mirrored in the coal industry itself. Black Jewel's bankruptcy is just one of a slew of bankruptcies to rock the coal industry recently. Kentucky Coal Association spokesperson Tyler White notes that Black Jewel Coal isn't part of the KCA. Still, he says, Black Jewel employees shouldn't have been treated that way.
There are also current companies that are going through bankruptcy that have not had these disruptions. This is related to one company and one company's actions. With that being said, overall, what this looks like for the coal industry is, and what it shows for, is that, you know, the coal industry is still struggling with a lot of overburdensome regulations that were put on us in a previous administration.
Regulation is just part of the story. Market trends are important, too. For the first time in modern history, this year, the U.S. produced more energy from renewable sources than from coal, and the availability of cheap natural gas has led to a steep decline in employment in the mining sector. In 1997, there were about 19,000 coal jobs in Kentucky. In 2017, there were about 6,000.
We're sort of in the early stages of the end game, I would say, of sort of the coal economy.
That's Clark Williams-Derry, the Director of Energy Finance for Sightline Institute, a research organization based in Seattle. He says we can expect more chaotic bankruptcies like Black Jewel's.
We're in uncharted territory. We don't really know what happens in sort of, you know, in the modern world of coal, what happens when the industry is shrinking so rapidly that we see mines simply abandoned.
In days spent sitting on the train tracks, Black Jewel miners have plenty of time to consider what that means for them. Miner Caleb Levins says he's too far into the business to hope for anything else.
This ain't a game. We're not a bunch of kids. We're grown men with families around here in the Appalachian Mountains. This is all we got, you know, just the coal mines. And we've been too far into the coal mines to try to turn around and go to college for 12 years. We got 12-year-old kids, you know, they need us now. They don't need us in 10 years.
But Curtis Kress says he's done with the industry. He wants out.
You never know from one day to the next if you're going to have a job. They'll get you used to making a whole lot of money and then kind of take it away.
A father of four, Kress is at risk of losing his home. He says he feels hopeless about what comes next, but he thinks his best bet is to find work in manufacturing. He hopes his kids leave the region when they're old enough. Black Jewel's Harlan County mines have been sold to a new company, Copperglow. Miners will at least get some of the money they're owed, and some of them, soon, will go back to work underground. But for many of these miners and their industry, what's coming down the tracks is anything but certain. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Sydney Bowles in Harlan County, Kentucky.